Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by the Director of Sales Development over at Rigor, and we're going to talk about how she teaches the why behind the SDR job. Sarah Affleck, welcome to the show.
Hey, Colin. How's it going? Thanks for having me here today.
I'm great. Thanks for joining. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I think it was Mr. Morgan J. Ingram that made the intro. Now I'm curious, why teach the why behind the SDR job? Like, isn't it pretty obvious you hire SDRs to prospect, go hit some targets, and like it's pretty clear, isn't it?
That's a good question. So what we've learned is, when a new SDR starts at Rigor, it's important for them to understand not only what their job responsibilities are in their new position, but why they were hired in the first place. Because I want them to understand what gap they're specifically filling so that they instantly feel a sense of purpose. For us, you know, there's high activity targets in place. They have an aggressive quota, and they've got pretty high expectations as an individual contributor. So I want them to understand, hey, this isn't just some arbitrary number I'm throwing at you. Go make 50 dials for no reason. We've created a formula for success. And I want each SDR to understand what went into that formula, why we built it that way, and how following it is going to teach them to be successful as an individual.
Very cool. So maybe just before we jump in, I'd love to know a little bit about, can you share some of your targets when you say high activity targets and high quota? Can you provide some context there?
Yeah, definitely. So we ask each SDR to range anywhere from 50 to 70 net new prospects a day. Now they're reaching out to 1 to 2 prospects per account, and they're finding all the accounts themselves. So they've each got a geo range, and they can pretty much target anything from a enterprise company that really ranges from 100 million and up. And they're reaching out to directors, VPs, and C-suites across the board. And, you know, they're running the full gamut on LinkedIn, phone, and well, obviously emails like crazy. So for them, that day is a grind. And I really want them to understand like why they're having to put so much work in and how that's going to yield the results that they're looking for, mm-hmm. not only to hit their quota, but so that they understand how to be a successful caller, how to really evangelize Rigor from the get-go.
Very cool. So you're teaching the why. What do you do to teach that why? Because obviously, you know, it's one thing to just say, hey, you know, we hired you because we're trying to grow. Mm-hmm. Right. But that doesn't really provide much of the backstory. So how do you communicate that whole backstory? Especially because, if you're hiring, say, 10 people all at once, you know, it might be challenging to make sure everybody's gets the same version of the story.
Definitely. So what we've done is we built this extensive onboarding and training program. So it's a blend of our technology, our culture, and then whatever department you're entering into, whether it be for us, it's sales development, but that could run the full gamut from sales development, client success, or engineering. So when somebody joins, actually a few years back, I built out the deck for when new hires join. They run through this program, and it's this massive slide deck, which looks intimidating at first, but then it becomes really fun because you get exposure to each department head and each individual contributor who runs something in particular. You know, whether it's the person who manages support or the person who leads the client success team. And each one sits down with that group of new hires and walks them through the purpose of their company and their department's value to the company.
Very cool. So instead of just, this is everything you need to know about how to sell Rigor, you get to meet basically everybody in the organization.
Exactly. Now,
is this unique to the SDRs?
So actually everybody who comes into the company now does it. I actually just created it a couple of years back for 4 SDRs. So it was built with SDRs in mind, thinking, mm-hmm. you know, they need exposure to not only how to do their job successfully, but how to fit in it from a cultural perspective. And for us, we define culture fit not just as someone cool to hang out with, but I define culture fit as somebody who lives and embodies our core values, somebody who is a passionate competitor, who's competitive within themselves to be as successful as possible, who's always trying to move the needle forward and be as mm-hmm. best, you know, as best as they can be.
Very cool. So I'm curious, what were you doing? You said you built this document. Mm-hmm. What were you doing before and why did you build it?
Oh man, it was pretty ad hoc. You know, if you envision the startup mentality a few years back when I started, I guess it was 3.5 years ago, there were 8 folks in the company. So when you started, it just depended on your manager. How much time did they have? Probably none. We were all like flying by the seat of our pants. It was more, you know, jump in head first and learn what you need to do to be successful in your own job. There wasn't, you know, this HR step through of each individual thing. We all made mistakes, I think valuable ones along the way, but yes. You know, I'm hoping that now our new hires can kind of learn from a lot of the mistakes and growth points that we found. So instead we just combine that all together in this massive onboarding program. And it ranges from basically everything they could possibly need to know. But I would say in the past, I mean, everybody had a totally different experience because it was all about, you know, it was an early stage company. So it was all about what your manager had on their plate and what they could educate you with.
Very cool. No, I want to just follow up on something I asked because I know I asked the question, but I'm not sure maybe I missed the answer.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Everybody goes through onboarding using your document now. Mm-hmm. Is there any difference between when somebody from sales goes through it versus somebody from HR or customer success? Like, do you have the intro to the tools or intro to Salesforce on the SDR side or anything like that?
Yeah. So the way that it works, actually, I prefer when several folks start from different departments. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because they get to all learn how their roles play critical positions for the other person starting. Right. So if you imagine if we've got an engineer, a salesperson, and a client success person all starting on the same day, they're actually going to run through that same program. Mm-hmm. But towards the end, it will obviously tweak according to their role. You know, and an engineer is not going to be picking up the phone and dialing on day one. However, you know, an engineer is going to learn what the SDR metrics are, how they conduct their day-to-day. They're going to sit down with me and get full exposure into our department's inner workings. They're even going to get the chance to shadow our team. And so then for them, in reverse, that SDR is going to see, how does an engineer work on a day-to-day? What are their projects and priorities? And so throughout their working relationship, you know, they kind of develop this mutual respect for the other person. Wow, I'm so glad we have you because without you, we wouldn't have technology to sell. I'm so glad you're here to sell it because without you, I would have to be on the phone cold calling and evangelizing the product.
That's fair. And so how much time do you dedicate or like goes into this onboarding?
A lot of prep work before they start. Mm-hmm. And then with each new hire, I would say I clear my first 2 weeks. So from 9 to 5 during those first 2 weeks, we're completely available. And we try to squeeze the majority of their trainings in, but then they trail off through the first 30, 60, and even 90 days. We still do ongoing check-ins. So that first 2 weeks is pretty structured, where it's, you know, intro to culture, intro to HR, intro to engineering department, how does client success work? And then past those 2 weeks, that's when they really start to break out into their own individual roles. Gotcha. But they come together still probably on more of like a daily basis rather than an all day basis of, okay, now we're going to do an efficiency training. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to do a project management training. And then they all regroup for that. So we kind of split out into classes based on who's learning what.
Cool. Follow-up questions. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So you said you take 2 weeks off. Does every manager take 2 weeks off? Or not 2 weeks off, but clear their schedule for 2 weeks.
Hey, we can call it 2 weeks off. It's my favorite time of year. Everyone knows I'm fired up when new hires are on the team.
Right.
No. Every manager takes 2 weeks off, so to speak, to bring them on and coach them. However, I'm still primarily scheduling the onboarding program. You know, one of the guys on our team makes a joke. He says, you know, whenever I'm looking to hire somebody, I wait until Sarah hires somebody and then I can just toss them in with them. And I know they'll go through the full process. So we're actually in the process. We've got someone starting next week. She's excellent. And she's going to be managing a lot of our office management things. So we're excited about her because she's had a huge impact recently with helping to scale out our onboarding program so that every manager doesn't have to take a full weeks off to train.
Mm-hmm. That was going to be my next question is, you know, hiring never really works out where you can get everybody to start on the same day.
No.
You know, unless you're a really large company, like we had Hootsuite locally here. I think they had a big hiring fair and I heard they were trying to hire 500 people at once, which,
Woo.
Right?
I don't know
how much of that is actually true. I know they probably tried to hire quite a few people, but I don't know if they hired 500 people in a short period of time. But for us smaller companies, you're hiring, you know, one or two here and three there and another one over there. How do you sort of line it up so that everybody, you know, gets the same? Because I imagine you're not going to take 2 weeks off, air quotes, for those that aren't watching the video. Just for one individual. So how do you manage that?
So, you know, that's really something that varies based on the schedules. What's great is when you and several managers are bringing somebody on at the same time. So even if I only have one new hire, one new SDR, I'm hopeful that that person is joining at a time when, you know, someone else in the company is hiring even an intern or someone else we can lump together. But that's an ongoing challenge is how do you get people to start on the same day? And when they don't, usually the best way that we do it is we had someone start 2 weeks ago and a couple more folks start this past Monday. And so the 2-weeker just kicked off primarily with their job role and responsibility training first. Mm-hmm. And then we were able to kind of backtrack and lump them in with the official onboarding department head, you know, breakfast with the CEO, which is happening tomorrow. So
cool.
Yeah, we try and do those more on a monthly basis. And then if somebody starts at an odd time, we just shift them in based on our calendars.
Cool. Okay. So you basically get 2 weeks off every month. That's a pretty cushy job, hey?
Gosh, right? It's actually the opposite. It's
and you're home today? Like, do you even go into the office?
The fun part is I tell the rest of my team, I'm like, okay, guys, I'm available before 9 and after 5 on these days. They're long days.
Yeah.
But everybody's listening is going to tease me for saying this, but I bleed rigor blue. I love the company and the culture. So those times feel like holidays, at least for me, because bringing somebody in and training them on how we work and what we do and how we're able to impact the customer, that's the best part of the job. So it's something I certainly get fired up about.
100%. I think any time that you can really truly buy in to a product that you're selling, it's going to make you so much more powerful. And who was I talking to? I was talking to Matt from Outreach. I'm going to have him on the he's their, I believe, VP of sales.
Oh,
I
yeah.
know I've got his title wrong, but it's VP of VP of something. And he was talking about, you know, there's like, if you look around, you know, at my desk or, you know, around the office here and in your house, everything that is there was sold by somebody.
Right.
You know? So there's almost an infinite number of things that you could sell. There's no reason to be selling something that you're not super passionate about, you don't care about. So it's
no
great
way.
When, especially when you can find it. I know I worked at this one company cause it was renting diesel generators and cause I was selling them before. And,
oh my gosh.
Talk about a switch. But that's a different story, but I was selling part of my job was selling welding equipment. I'm like, I've never welded. I learned how to weld and I'm not terrible. No, I am terrible. That's fair. there was some like really high powered machinery that was making me a less terrible welder. But like, I didn't care. I loved my boss. You know, I really liked the company. I was honestly just there for my boss, and I wasn't a very effective salesperson in that role. You know, I look back and some of the other companies I've worked at, and I've been top, you know, percentage in this in like nearly every role. And I still smashed all my targets at this company, but I just felt
Throw that lob that one in there. I casually exceeded all of my targets.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was 180% of quota while I was at this company that I'm talking about. But I didn't sell, like I hardly sold any welding stuff. It was all diesel generator related because that's what I knew. And big engines are fun. So that's how, you know, that's what got me interested. But we're off on a tangent, but I love that you bleed rigor blue, which does sound like a medical thing that you want to get checked, but.
I'll look into it.
Yeah.
So far, I like what it's doing for me.
Great. So I'm curious, we've sort of got the backstory of this document and where it came from, but I think the cool part of the show is that we get to a little show and tell.
Yeah.
So what, can you walk me through at a high level before you share your screen, what are the high level sort of chunks or sections that we're going to see?
So really the core, we kick off with our story because everybody relates well to a story. Mm-hmm. And we talk about how we built our culture. So one of the things that I get really passionate and excited about is hearing Craig's story, our CEO. We kicked it off with a breakfast at Flying Biscuit, and each new hire does a breakfast with him, and he tells the story of how Rigor came to be, how he thought of the idea, how we acquired another team called Zoomph, and really the brains behind it. And then from there, it dives into the culture. And that's such a, you know, the word culture, it's thrown around so much. It means so many different things to different people. And, you know, we really explain how we define it. And that encompasses our core values. You know, for every company has their quirks. And we even teach you the best practices with the small things like communication style and, you know, how to fit in and stand out and be successful at the same time, you know, like how to adapt to the culture while still having a presence and a voice. Mm-hmm. And there's even like this, it's kind of like a human to-do list on how to thrive with your teammates, so to speak, which is a lot of fun. And then, you know, our core values, what they mean, the story behind how we wrote them together and why they're so important that we live them every day. And then even down into the departmental breakdown. So that's each role of the business and what each department plays in an effort to move the needle forward. So we really make it easy on the new hire by breaking down each individual so that they know, okay, Sam is our designer and he's on the engineering team. If I want to understand design work, I know exactly who to talk to and ask questions. So we're really trying to make them seamlessly fit in. I don't know if you ever worked in a corporate job, but I remember at one of the jobs I was in a cube and I drew a diagram of the cube farm and labeled each person. I remember putting like Jerry, gray shirts, coffee cup, you know? Trying to identify who does what. And then I would overhear someone talking about what Tim did and jot it down really quickly. And so we're kind of giving somebody a cheat sheet to who does what and what kind of the internal inner workings are. And then from there, we dive into the technology because that's the most important part, right? Like mm-hmm. for us, we're enabling customers to ensure that their websites are fast and reliable. That's a huge need for the market. So we need our individuals to not only understand the value that our technology brings, how it works, but where we sit in next to our competitors, what our space looks like at large, how the web performance community kind of works together, who we complement, who we might be able to, you know, go up against. So we dive into that. And then the final thing is your role, the new hire's individual breakdown, how they're successful. For the SDRs, it's we have playbooks for basically everything you could need, from intro to sales development lifestyle, all the way to cold calling playbooks and best practices, shortcuts, A-text, things like that. So it's really what they need to know to be successful in their position once they've done the larger training and coaching.
Cool. And I know you made a bit of a shortened one. I hope you've got, did you keep in the SDR stuff with shortcuts and A-text?
I've got a little bit in there.
Cool. I love shortcuts. Anybody that's from our company that's listening to this is laughing hysterically right now. Cause if I see somebody it's like one of the things I just can't help myself. If I see somebody using a mouse to like right click and hit copy or like reaching to like open a tab, I'm like, come on.
No, it causes me physical pain when I see inefficiency. My team listening is gonna, you know, they're all nodding along probably.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when people aren't, I would rather somebody get in, work hard, work smart, and then get out of here for the day and go do their life. You know, it's all about that balance. So to me, it's when you're in, you're all in, you're 100%, you're focused, you're efficient with your time. And then when you're out, don't waste your time just dawdling around. It drives me nuts. So they're all laughing along here, I'm sure.
I guarantee. All right. Without any, we've teased this so much. So let's jump in. Let's have a look at this, this document. And for those of you that are listening to the podcast and can't see Sarah, we're going to include a link to the PDF that she's looking at right now, somewhere in the show notes or the, we'll do show notes. And there's going to be a follow-up article with the PDF as well.
Perfect. And we'll show the full onboarding deck from there. That's probably a little bit easier.
Cool.
But this is just an overview kind of look at what would a snapshot of your first week look like. Mm-hmm. And so if you're looking here, you can see you're walking in, you've got tour, tech setup, company lunch. And this is an example of an SDR training we did a while back. But you'll notice the trends on here. We've got, you know, day one is a lot of just onboarding, HR, things like that. Day two, we've got an efficiency training. We have a sales loft training, shameless shout out to sales loft. We love what they do. We've got Salesforce training, Zoom info introductions, and then a Rigor platform demo. And this Thursday, work from home day, for those of you who aren't familiar with the way that we do it at Rigor, every Thursday, we call it Yours Day, and it's a company-wide work from home day. So the kind of the unique thing about our onboarding process here is whether, depending on your manager, that can be a day where you can come in and work individually with your manager to really get onboarded there and understand at a little bit more one-on-one level how things work at Rigor.
Gotcha.
And then
before you jump, I'm curious, training email verification platform, what do you use?
Yes. We've got a secret sauce here, which we'd have to go offline for me to give you the full rundown on how it works. But we've got a couple of internal tools that we use. And we also love Discover.org. We've recently made the switch over to them.
Nice. I'm a big fan of their data as well.
Yeah, it's good. I think they pride themselves on not having all the data, but what they do have is right. So I can definitely appreciate that. Less is sometimes more if it's accurate.
Yeah, 100%. All right, well, I'll bug you offline about that. And then maybe I'll secretly write a blog post about it.
Definitely. Next, we're moving into our core values. So you can see right down here, we've got the Rigor Astronaut. The company, we at our all hands lunch once a month, Craig, our CEO, gets up and talks about the numbers. He talks about what's happening from a new hire perspective, from a training perspective, from a product release perspective. And he reinforces our values. There's one that's missing that we actually just added. It's customer first, and it would go pocketed right here. And these seven values are the way that we define who we are as a team. And we, you know, during the onboarding process, we're diving into what each value means to us and how as an individual they can ensure that through kind of their day-to-day interactions with the team, they're embodying those core values. And you can see this is Marisa here. She's handing off the culture award to, she is handing it off to Douglas. Each department hands it off to a different department. So one individual wins the culture award, or the rigor astronaut, like we call it. Nice. And he, the astronaut is handed from one individual on a department to the next. This is Stephanie here. She actually won our first astronaut about 3 years ago. So it's been trailing for a while now.
Cool.
Living by our core values. This is a good one. I loved this day when Zach won the culture award. But we talk a lot about how we empower our employees to live those core values. And we even use them as verbiage throughout Slack, throughout the training process. And then they're constantly reiterated. You know, you can even just see the hashtag own your work down here. Mm-hmm. And then we talk even about internal communication. And I mentioned this briefly. We've got a funny thing internally, like headphones on is the rigor word for I'm in the zone. So we always say headphones on, Slack first. Headphones off, you're kind of open to it. So my headphones, as you can imagine, are rarely on in the office because I'm kind of like, I'm available all the time to the team. But mm-hmm. when somebody's in the zone, I've seen folks sit with their headphones on and it's not even plugged into anything. They're just sitting there because it's kind of the sign of, hey, I've got a ton of work to get done. I'm focused right now. If you shoot me a Slack or it's urgent, I'll help you out.
It's really funny. I almost don't want to share this, but I'll actually sometimes if I'm thinking about things, I always have these earbuds in, but I also have like a heavy duty pair of headphones that I don't wear that often anymore. Uh-huh. But I'll sometimes just unplug my headphones and I'm moving from one place to another and I'll leave them in. Not the antisocial, like I don't want to talk, but it just, right. There's something about having them in that just like keeps me focused on this is what I need to do. Right. Exactly. This is what I'm thinking about. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's it. It's more about the maintaining focus. Our team, we're a little bit too tight at times and they're always joking. They're like, I have to stop myself from constantly distracting the group and my headphones on reminds me to do that. So we've got some funny quirks like that. Another one, you know, just, we talk about communication. You know, not sure who to ask about something, check with your manager. We have Slack channels for everything. So that you can ensure that you're going to the right person. You can always find someone to help you out. We even have formal channels for certain feature requests, or we have a marketing ideas channel, which I think is really cool in our Slack. People will come across other websites and they'll say, hey, this website had this very cool new thing. I would love to see Rigor do that. And that's actually how we've made a lot of improvements to our site and kind of Rigor at large is what do we see out there? What do we like as a group? Let's vote on it and then toss it into the pile for success. And another one, this is an example of how we do our breakdowns for each department. So you can see here, it's our engineering team. And this is going to give somebody a quick glimpse into what's product and engineering, who does what, who owns what. And we even get a little bit more granular with the department heads as to which seat on the bus each individual is on and how they're contributing to the larger, you know, larger company vision. This is another one I like. We even break down the teams, who does what. We've got who does what and what we do. And so you can kind of flip back and forth and see, you know, sales development, we established net new client relationships, while marketing is generating demand and building out brand clout. So it's kind of a cool mix right there.
It's
yeah.
Right there. It's what they do and then the mission of what they're trying to accomplish.
You got it.
Love it.
And then even this one's a slide that always makes me laugh. What does the developer do all day? I remember when I started at Rigor a number of years back and I would watch in fascination at the engineers. And I just remember thinking, gosh, this team is brilliant. What am I doing? Just dialing and emailing all day long. And I got a reality check when one of the engineers approached me. It was actually Mark from the company we acquired, Zoomf, who's now our VP of engineering. And he was like, I'm so glad we merged with Rigor, because there's nothing I hated more than selling. And it was just such a fun, it was such a fun way to learn, wow, he values what I do and admires what I do and my skills and what I bring to the table. And I admire and value him so much. And we work in tandem and complement each other so well. So we build out for each department. We basically did what does a developer do all day? What does a client success person do all day? And so that you can really, when somebody's like, I don't even know what they do, dive in here and we talk about how they build features and they, you know, we get under the hood as to the design discussions and how they get all fired up and trade ideas, things like that.
Very cool.
We even get into the weeds of the technology. So what are our competitive differentiators? We talk about monitoring and how we merge with optimization. Zoomf was the original company, the optimization solution, and we were kind of this perfect complement. So we tell that story, and you'll notice as a trend throughout the deck, there's helpful links. So these would be links to the story of why we acquired Zoomf. So really going back to that original why throughout this is a threaded theme of why did we make the decisions that we made? We didn't just fall into Rigor and the company happened. We've made strategic decisions to lead ourselves down the path at which we've landed. So everything has been incredibly intentional. And I think once you really educate and reinforce that, an individual is more likely to kind of buy in and drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We even get into why would somebody care? You know, why would you care about website speed? I love this. Our head of product our CTO now made this slide with turtles and just talks about SEO and how we're helping with online sales and conversion rates. And obviously, you know, I've kind of highlighted these a lot, but they do get a little bit more to the weeds. Mm-hmm. This one is, like I mentioned, role specific. So what does sales development do? And here's a little shout out to our team and how we, you know, I think in SDR, it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day. It's a grind. Everyone says it's a grind. And I think it's kind of like the chicken and the egg. The more you hear that the role is a grind and that it's challenging, the more you start to think that it's challenging. Mm-hmm. And it certainly is, but there's such a larger purpose that comes in. You know, I like to think about the customers that we've recently had come into our office, and they've said, you know, one was a massive cruise line. And when they came in, they were like, you know, we use Rigor to benchmark ourselves against our competitors. And all day long, the Rigor screen shows where we stand amongst our competitors. And if anything changes, we immediately jump into Rigor and can solve that problem.
Very cool.
So, you know, one of the things that drew me to a company like Rigor is it wasn't just a nice to have. It was a need to have. It was a technology that was innovative to the market and something that, you know, I really believed was going to take off in the space. So educating the purpose behind that is going to enable a sales development rep to evangelize the product, to speak to our value, to connect with a VP or a C-level decision maker and educate them as to how we could help them out. And then we even talk about the leads. So for the purpose of this exercise, I removed all the links, but we can always dive into those at a later date. But we've got in here the toolbox, which has some very secret best practices, tips and tricks.
That you're not going to share with us.
I'm not going to share them. I don't have them right now.
Sarah, that's the part of this podcast that we're looking forward to the most.
I know. And I've got the playbook here. And actually, one of our teammates is in the process of building out this full cold call playbook. He released it yesterday. So the SDRs have a plan. Today, they're like on the path of learning this new playbook. So it's pretty exciting.
Cool.
And yeah, so it's kind of all compiled up in here and what their job is and what their day to day is. And I think it takes away from the thought of SDR is just an entry level Kickstarter job that gets you a foot in the door into sales. Mm-hmm. Sales development is an incredibly valuable business critical role that we want to educate our new hires and all of the company to understand and see the value behind.
Very cool. One last question I just saw on your SDR playbook. You're looking at 50 plus, I think I heard 50 to 70 activities a day. Mm-hmm. Email, phone, social. Mm-hmm. Do you have targets for each of them, or is it just any 50 of any will do?
So the way that it works, and that's actually a great question because it's something we go back and forth a lot on with the team. So the better someone is doing from a results perspective, the more likely I am to waive their activity targets. So we basically built out, like I mentioned earlier, a formula for success and realized, okay, on our average SDR, they need to find 50 net new prospects. And that can range any accounts that they find on their own. Mm-hmm. But for those individuals, if they're able to book a meeting a day without making 50 phone calls, maybe they make 15 incredibly strategic calls and they have meaningful talk time and they're able to move the needle as a result. I'm not really worried if they make 50 random dials. I'm more thinking like, are they strategic with their dials? One thing our SDRs love to do. Salespeople constantly complain about the holidays, but I love the holidays because you get out of office messages like crazy.
Huge fan.
Yeah, because they save all the direct dials that they have in their signatures at the bottom. It's always like, missed me? Here's my phone number. And so our SDRs build out these direct dial phone books for themselves. And then
incredibly valuable.
Yeah. And then what they also love to do is they hit reply to the actual out of office. So when the person gets back, the out of office message is sitting in the top of their inbox. So then it looks like they've just sent that person a note and it's got their title already in there. And mm-hmm. so they just naturally open it. Our open rates on out of offices are insane. And then they've also got this direct dial list. So for them, they don't have to necessarily make those 50 calls. Maybe they've called 10 direct dials, followed up specifically on some sort of trigger, and they were able to book their meetings. If they can do that, I will waive all the activity targets in the world. If you can think smarter, not harder.
I'm a huge fan of working smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. And I love the out of offices. Specifically, another thing that we do is people always throw their coworkers under the bus, right? And especially if you're going using the referral approach where you're intentionally missing. Yeah. And it says, oh, you know, I emailed Peter, and Peter's out of office. He's like, hey, while I'm out, talk to Sarah.
The worst.
It's like, excellent. I'm going to take your email. Now I'm going to send you an email. Hey, Pete's, out of office for, pointed me in your direction. And now it's definitely still cold, but it's not quite as cold as just, hey, I'm trying to reach you.
It's funny that you said throw you under the bus. We have a motto on the sales development team. They can always throw me under the bus. The SDRs can. My job is to be their backup, their support system. So they have block scheduling where they've actually built out their own block and they do that during the onboarding process. Week three, once they actually start prospecting and start learning the day-to-day process, they build out, like an 8-to-5 schedule that's going to have, from 8 to 10, I'm going to send my follow-ups, 10 to 12, I'm going to prospect, 1 to 3, I'm going to dial. And if somebody internally is trying to snag time on their calendar, they're like, oh, Sarah won't let me. And they just, the reinforcement is, my job is to make you successful. So feel free to throw me under the bus. And that seems to work kind of from a powerful, feeling of empowerment standpoint.
Very cool. I think we've been going for about 35, 40 minutes here. So I have two last questions and then we'll sort of wrap it up. And then I'm going to grill you about all the secrets.
All right. I like it.
So shortly, what's the impact of this onboarding on the team? I mean, you've been doing it since number 8, employee 8, and I'm assuming you did it for everybody, beyond that. What have you noticed?
I think the biggest thing that I've noticed is that A players, like top performers, they're willing to run as fast as they can towards the goal, but they need to know where the goalposts are before they start full speed ahead. So otherwise they're just running and they don't know why or where they're going. So if you can set proper expectations, you're instantly setting somebody up for success. So I think just as a result, it's created overall job satisfaction, because most people, and I genuinely believe most people, want to be successful and want to be the best that they can be, but they can really only reach their highest potential when they're enabled to do so. So like, I imagine if you're teaching somebody to complete a task, you know, don't just say, go and dial for 2 hours, because it feels meaningless and hopeless if you're doing that every single day. But if you're telling somebody, hey, I want you to go in there and dial for 2 hours, because if you're able to, as soon as you connect with somebody and you're able to start a conversation and educate them on the value of rigor, you're going to make that individual's work life better, their sight faster. They might even get a promotion from buying something like you, from buying something from buying school like you. Yeah, from you. So for that individual, they're then seeing so much value. And as a result, they're executing their goals with a lot more enthusiasm. And I guess it takes the onus off their manager and puts it on the individual. Like, I'm here to enable you to be your best self. You meet me halfway.
Cool. I love it. I think it definitely comes out that you bleed rigor blue. And if your team is little clones of you, then I think Ricker has very bright future and very bright prospects in its future.
Thank you. I like to think so, but they're probably like, oh gosh, no.
So I want to move to our last sort of surprise segment that we started doing a while ago. This is because you bleed rigor blue. I think you're going to love this. And there's a fly buzzing me. That's why I'm pausing strangely. I'm curious. So the setup, when was the last time you made a cold call?
Oh man, it's been a minute. So I think last quarter, I actually Q1 of this year, I started reprospecting. Cool. So I booked 12 meetings Q1 of this year, and that's an SDR's monthly quota. And I took that as a challenge to myself. Yeah. So I try and get in the boat as much as I can. Guilty with the cold calls, though.
So no cold calls? You're prospecting but not making cold calls?
Prospecting is the name of the game. And email, you know, emails, anybody will talk to you over email, especially corporate IT, CTOs, tech people.
That's fair. Did you hit your target of 12?
I hit my target of 12.
Let's redo that high five, because I was just sort of like there all by myself.
Yeah, I got you.
Cool. So our last segment is basically gives you the opportunity to pitch rigor, but you got to cold call me. We'll do some role play.
Woo! All right, I'm ready.
Sound good?
Yes.
Okay. Ring, ring. Hey, this is Colin.
Hey, Colin. This is Sarah with Rigor. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Sarah?
Oh, that was a pretty nice response. I don't get that too often.
I've been drinking today.
Ah, I like it. All right, cool. It's 5:37, so you got some leeway there. Listen, I'm calling to learn a little bit more about you. Do you happen to manage the website over at predictablerevenue.com?
Me and a team, yes. But I'm very busy. I only have a few minutes.
I would imagine so. Well, I'm curious, would it be helpful if you had visibility into that site's performance and you were able to enhance your team's overall productivity across the board?
We do that through Google Analytics already.
Ah, we hear that all the time. What if we could automate that workflow? So not only would we identify any issues in your site, but we would then prioritize them and tell you exactly what to do with them.
But isn't that what my Google, like my GA reports do for me already?
So what it does is it's telling you exactly where the problem is, but it's not giving you the step-by-step breakdown on how to fix it. So
I don't know how to fix my own site?
I say you probably know better than anybody how to fix your own site, but what if we could speed that up? get your team started. And rather than having to constantly catch and retroactively fix bugs, we could actually help you in the development life cycle. So as you're writing new code, as your team is constantly pushing things live into the software development life cycle through continuous integration, we're catching issues for you.
I think I'm being way too generous on this call, but fine. It sounds interesting.
Wow, man. All right, cool. Well, so, you know, from there, I mean, the fun thing about the cold calls for us is for our SDRs, it's usually more of a conversation. A lot of them lead, a lot of them dive into the calls, and I guess I would call it less of a cold call and more of a warm lead, because most of them are following up. The second they get a bite over an email, they're picking up the phone. And then they're having a real conversation, and it's less of, hey, I'm trying to pitch you what I do, and more on, let's have a conversation. Let's see if you're the right person. And what I'm always telling the SDRs is, if it's not the right fit, if it's not valuable or helpful, you're not going to move the needle for them. They're just going to churn. So really identify, is this something that could be a mutual partnership for both of us? Is this something that we can help them with? Because if not, we don't want to waste their time. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. It made me realize, I think I need an actual phone I can hold instead of just standing here with the.
Yeah. I was tempted to pull out a banana and use it as a phone or
right?
A banana phone. Yeah.
Yeah. The banana phone. Love it. Sarah, I want to thank you so much for coming on. This has been awesome. Thank you for sharing the deck and in the future, all your top secret SDR strategies. I will get them out of you. If you are a sales development rep on the Rigor team, I want to hear from you. How did Sarah do in her cold call?
Probably they're going to say terribly.
I want to hear. All right. Thanks so much for coming on.
Bye.